Peter said, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And you see, we haven't come into the perfect age yet, so we're still living in the same age to which Peter was referring. The age of the church, the age of reaching out with teaching the gospel. When Paul called the elders from Ephesus to come and meet him and gave them a most wonderful charge, which is found in the 20th chapter of Acts, we read there in the 28th verse that he charged them as overseers of the church to feed the church. And then in the 30th verse, well, verses 29 and 30, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Paul said literally, factually, of the church at Ephesus, of the church at Corinth, of the church at Galatians, there will be men of your own selves that will arise to draw away people to have them of their own disciples, for their own disciples. We're still living in that age. In a very recent issue of Christianity Today, an article entitled Burying the Gospel by Donald Blosk. In this, he made this statement. Many in the church today actually assume a pseudo-prophetic stance. Pseudo means counterfeit or false. Many assume a pseudo or a false prophetic stance. True prophecy is informed by Scripture and brings all sides under the judgment of God. Instead of speaking the Word of God with power, many unwittingly ally or associate the message. What is the message? The truth. Jesus went about teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. Many ally the message with a social ideology. This is a very recent article, Burying the Gospel. A falling away must come. A second key scripture that has to do with the falling away is also in the writing of the Apostle Paul, and it's in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and this is one of the very familiar portions of Scripture that has to do with men loving themselves. And I'm sure that there are several of you that could quote most of it, and perhaps all of it tonight, the first five verses. This know also that in the last days, I added there, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. I'm not going to read all of that. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Lovers of their own selves. Jesus said that men would be lovers of their own selves. In Luke, the 21st chapter and the 34th verse, this very important chapter that has to do with the sign concerning the coming of Jesus, we read in the 34th verse of Luke 21, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. Now, we are quite sure that most of us wouldn't be held liable for the first two. But the New English Bible reads, don't let the worldly cares, don't let your hearts be overcharged with the worldly cares. Now, will any one of you stand up right now with a smile on your face and tell me that the Church of God doesn't have worldly cares in it, and that the people, the solid members of the Church, are immune from the worldly cares, and they put the Church first, always ahead of the worldly cares. This is one of the little tiny forms of apostasy. Whether we like it or not, it is. Lovers of pleasure. In the April issue, which is just out, of Moody Monthly, George Sweeting, president of Moody Bible Institute, said pleasure is an obsession with the majority of people. You know, we don't need to kid ourselves. And this is going to strike home. But what's the reason that in just about 4 weeks, many of our churches will close their doors on Sunday night for the summer months? It's not to study their Bibles at home. The worldly cares. And we like to point the finger, you see, to somebody else. But let's be careful. What's the reason we don't want to always go in the Lord's house? Well, I think we need to think about it. I think we need to think seriously about it. When we willingly stay away from the Lord's house, when we have the opportunity to go and have the ability to go. Now, there are some who do not have the ability to go, and some who do not have the opportunity. They may have a good reason. Pleasure is the obsession of the majority of people. Preach the word was what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in the second letter in the fourth chapter. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. The New English Bible reads, proclaim the message, convenient or inconvenient. Press it home. When? All the time. But what are we to press home? I want to remind you again that Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Back to the article of burying the gospel. There is impressionistic preaching. This type is not to uphold the Word of God, but to impress people with one's own knowledge and accomplishments. Such, meaning such people who do this, are not really spokesmen for God. They are burying the gospel to advance themselves. I believe, and I say, I firmly believe, the Church of God has a challenge to think about of whether or not we may be entering or a part of the spiritual apostasy, whether or not we might be on the verge of taking some part in it. We need to examine ourselves. Are we willing to examine ourselves to see if we need to try on the shoe? What about our literature that goes out? What about the different phases of the General Conference, the different departments of the General Conference? What goes forth from the pulpit? Is the word, is the message really being proclaimed? Or is it something else? In the last issue of Challenge, our Berean Youth Fellowship magazine, there was a very short article written by R.G. Letourneau, chairman of the board of Letourneau College. This man, though we probably wouldn't agree with him doctrinally, I don't know, I heard him many years ago, met him, but he wrote, and this article, we quote from it, "I say it's high time that church-related colleges turn back to a sound biblical approach. Call it indoctrination if you like, but the scriptures command us to put Christ first. No Christian school should permit academic freedom or intellectualism beyond the student's spiritual maturity to handle it and still keep his Christian faith on top." This is a part of our work, our college. I said we need to examine the whole program, including our individual selves. And back to the article of burying the gospel by Mr. Blouse. Many churches and seminaries today have become fields for evangelism rather than forces of evangelism. Who is it for? If there should be the slightest indication that we might have some spiritual apostasy in our congregations, among ourselves, who is it for? In writing to Titus, the Apostle Paul said, and we read in the second chapter in the 15th verse, to Titus he strongly wrote, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee." But remember he said, rebuke with all authority. Right here it is. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest authority we have. And if we talk without using it, we want to be careful. George Sweeting again, president of Moody Bible Institute, in that article said, concerning now, who is at fault? Situation ethics and the so-called new morality flourish, and the masses are blind to God's truth. The masses are blind to God's truth. Why? Oh, there are more people going to church today. I read a figure not very long ago. The attendance to churches and at church is on the rise quite substantially in the last 5 years. Thousands of people in church. Why are the masses blind to God's truth? Who's at fault? In this article, Mr. Sweeting quoted from a Christian psychiatrist named Dr. George Benson, who had said, "People will not be led to change save by one who speaks with priestly authority." Let me read that again. "People will not be led to change save by one who speaks with priestly authority." For many years there has been the phrase or saying, "As goeth the priest, so goes the people." Who's at fault? And why? Is it because the Word of God is not being preached? And is it because there's been a lack in teaching others how to preach and what to preach? Is it because we're willing to use other materials that have false doctrines in them rather than Church of God materials? We have to explain it away in our classes, and we have to explain it away to our Sunday school teachers, and we have to cross this out and cross that out, Is it any wonder if there is spiritual apostasy in our church today? If the truth is worth something, why don't we use the truth? And why don't we uphold the truth? Even if it costs us more money, we don't hesitate to spend $4,000 for a new automobile and $700 for a new colored TV, but let somebody say it's going to cost $250 to print a tract, and we say, we don't have the money. I tell you, I think the Lord God's going to hold some Church of God people responsible someday, and I mean it. We could have many fine, small, colored tracts. Thousands of them on the market for less than $5,000. We could have 100,000 of them. And I think I'm right in that, and if I'm not, I'll put one-fifth of the bill, whatever it costs. And I mean that, too. Today's spiritual apostles. In his article, Mr. Sweeting said, we need a revival. And true, we do. If the masses of humanity are blind to God's truth, we certainly need a revival. He pointed out that the Greek meaning or the meaning of revival is to live again. It doesn't mean just to be rejuvenated for a short time, but to really live again. And he cited the story of Jonah. And he made this statement. The biggest obstacle to the salvation of Nineveh was in the heart of the prejudiced Jonah. Think about that a moment. The biggest obstacle to the salvation of Nineveh was in the heart of prejudiced Jonah. Jonah was the key to the salvation of Nineveh. We are the key today to the salvation of many people. Today's Christianity depends in its truth whether or not it's being apostatized upon you, upon whether or not we are preaching the word, whether or not we are proclaiming the message. Let's think about it. Let's seriously think about it. I don't know how many times in just the last 4 weeks I've had people say to me, we surely are living in the end of time. Surely it's not going to be very long until our Lord shall come again. Then if we believe this, let's be sure we're serving God to the utmost. First of all, with preaching the truth and upholding that truth and making sure that others know that truth. Shall we bow in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we know that the Apostle Paul wrote in the Hebrew letter that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. May that sharpness, Father, enter into our hearts, that we may search our hearts and know whether or not we are serving you to the best of our ability, whether we are giving you the best and doing for you all that we can. Continue to bless in this service. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.